Good morning.
Good
morning. I was talking to somebody on the phone yesterday, and they were saying, not from this area, but they were saying that they weren't going to go to church today because they're a stand-in preacher. And I thought, well, that's a bit of a worry there for me. So I'm glad to see you all here. The end of the day, we're not here to hear a preacher. We're here to hear the Word of God. And first of all, we'll turn to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that tells us about Jesus Christ, the center of our lives, the focus of our lives. Father, we just pray today that we'll learn from your word, be challenged by your word, be encouraged by your word, and you will have a message for every single person here today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to carry on looking at Romans, but we're jumping a bit to chapter 5. So if you have a pew Bible, you can get to page 1135. We're looking at Romans chapter 5, but just two verses, verses 1 and 2. In the letter to the Romans, at this point, Paul has talked about law. He's talked about the wrath of God and sin. He's talked about the cross. He's talked about the justification that Christ has brought to the cross. And he's talked about the importance of faith. And now in chapter 5, you start to bring it all together. So verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5 say, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we all have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." A question. What's the difference between life insurance and life assurance? Sounds very similar, don't they? Well, I'm not a great expert in finance, but as I understand it, it's to do with certainty. Life insurance, like most insurances, there's no certainty of payout. If you get life insurance, you only get a payout if, unfortunately, you have an accident or you die for a certain date and it's paid out to your heirs and so on. So with life insurance, there's no certainty of getting paid out. But life assurance is different, because life assurance, a payout is certain, because at some point that policy will mature, it's an investment, and either you or your heirs will get a payment. So when we're talking about assurance, we're talking about something that is certain, something we have confidence that's guaranteed. And that brings an important question. Do you have assurance about your relationship with God? Are you certain about where you stand with him now and in the future? It's a really important question. If you're a Christian, do you know you belong to Christ for eternity? We need to be reminded of that, because sadly, and we all know, our assurance can waver, can't it? We wonder, well, my faith is strong enough. What if I'm not good enough? What if I don't feel close to God just now? Am I going to get a letter someday saying, sorry, you've failed to make the grades, you're no longer getting to heaven? You know, we do worry, don't we, sometimes? We think, well, you know, I'm okay with God. Well, these opening two verses of Paul's letter to the Romans are God's word to all of us. Because here, Paul is talking about that. He's talking about our future and our present, and how certain they are. He's seeking here to give his Christian readers assurance about the reality and the permanence of the relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He's going to show the certainty of the blessings that they enjoy. He tells us those who are justified by faith have an unshakable hope. So our verses start off, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith." As soon as you see a "therefore," the whole thing is you say, what's it there for? Was linking in all the earlier parts, isn't it? Because Paul's been talking about, as we've seen the last few weeks, David's been taking us through quite a few chapters, up to chapter 3. We've talked about a lot of stuff, haven't we? We've heard the bad news that Paul's talked about. The bad news is, as we accept about holy God, we need to be perfectly righteous, completely without sin. But people have a sin problem. Ever since Adam chose to sin, he ruined his relationship with his creator, our God, and we've all followed in his footsteps. We're all incapable of keeping God's law. God is good. He can't tolerate or ignore sin. It's part of his character. He's good, he's perfect, he's holy. So those who do wrong are subject to the wrath, the holy anger of the perfect judge. We heard that in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their righteousness suppress the truth. It's that exchange. People have exchanged God's truth for lies. And God is justly angry. But there's the good news. We heard about it last week. We looked at part of chapter 3 last week. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, God has provided that way back. He's taken initiative. On the cross, Jesus, the perfect, righteous Son of God, he bore the punishment for sin. He chose willingly to go as a sacrifice to bear the anger of God that all us fallen sinners. That word propitiation we touched on last week. He was a sacrifice that turned away the wrath of God. He was then raised back to life. He was resurrected, demonstrating God's acceptance of his sacrifice. Wrath was turned to favor. Not just favor in Christ, but favor in us also. Christ has done it all. We can't be good enough to make amends for sin problem. The only answer is to repent of our sin and turn away from it completely. Not just be sorry about it, but turn away from it completely and entirely trust in Jesus Christ to put our faith in him alone. If you look up in your Bible, the previous paragraph, chapter 4, verses 24, 25, you'll see that Paul writes, righteousness will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who is delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So in our exchange, Christ has taken on righteousness. He's paid for that. He bore the wrath for that on the cross. We can't really plunge the depths of that, can we? The enormity of that. Christ, who knew no sin, becoming sin for us, taking our sin. That separation of his Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? But we have been given his righteousness. That's an amazing exchange, isn't it? We've taken his righteousness, our righteousness has gone to him. He's given us his righteousness. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we stand justified in God's sight. Justified means effectively we're found not guilty by God. There are no charges against us. There's no punishment due. He sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ.